God's Word has encouragement for each of us as we open it together and discover why we're so different. That's a topic from Dr. Don Wilson. Yes, the message today is why we are so different. We'll be headed to the book of Ephesians in just a moment, but Dr. Don wants to remind you that we're here for you 24 hours a day, connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at tewonline.org, and this phone number, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or tewonline.org. Many folks online are taking a peek at the book that Dr. Wilson released recently called Saturdays with Billy, plus the 31 Days of Prayer for Our Nation, a powerful resource. Again, take a peek online right now at tewonline.org. Now today's teaching with Dr. Don Wilson on The Encouraging Word.
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4. And while I'm turning there, Britt, I wonder if you wouldn't mind, we're going to need this box up here, down here on the floor. If you could bring that up there, because we're going to need that in a minute as a congregation. We're going to be looking at a very special subject this morning. If you would just look at me for a moment, please. We're going to be looking at a very special subject in Ephesians chapter 4. Do you know, it's an amazing thing to see how God's people come together.
Pastor, would you...
A basketball? You know that it's a remarkable thing to know that in our congregation that we have so many people who work and give of their giftedness in the ministry of recreation. Uh-oh. What is this?
Well, Pastor, you know, even as we speak, there are a number of men and women, boys and girls that are helping downstairs take care of some of the most essential of needs of our little ones even now so we can worship.
Well, I'm glad you gave me a clean one, Britt. This is a diaper. Do you know that as we worship the Lord Jesus today, but do you know that we've literally got scores of little babies that our people are looking after right now so that moms and dads can be in this church service? Do you know that we've got some people, Britt, who very rarely, if ever, get to come into a worship service because they're serving you and me. They love us so much. And you know what I'm told? I'm told that the older a person becomes, the less likely it is that they're going to give their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. And the key lies at this stage. These little ones who mean so much to us personally, but they mean so much to the Lord Jesus Christ. And how much we thank God for the army of men and women who minister to our little ones. What else do we have? Uh-oh. What is this now? Okay, you can take that. This is First Baptist Church Spartanburg Sanctuary Choir. All the music programs that we have. What a blessing.
There's a t-shirt.
Ah, I recognize this. This is our young people will recognize this. This is Mirror Image. You can see a map from last year. Mirror Image went all the way down to the Keys in Florida. The year before went all the way up to Toronto, Canada. Sang in prisons. Went to the Brooklyn Tabernacle in New York City. We saw over 1,000 people give their hearts to Jesus Christ the last 2 years. Do you know that our young people are training every single week, putting in hours upon hours, all for one reason, and that is to go and share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Parents who give up of their time to work with our young people, what a blessing. This is interesting. Thank you. See why we needed this up? I had to have this, Britt. This is a map. It's an interesting thing. It's got the whole world. You can see India there. I think of our medical hospital in India. I see Russia back there. Do you know that we've got some of our men, Jess Brown and Tom Arledge, going to Russia in a couple of weeks again? South Africa. Boy, they got some funny people that come from there, and they've got... look at this, over here in the United States and Australia down under, good day, mate, and all the rest of it that goes with it. Do you know that our church every year for the past several years has given $10,000 in our budget to help build churches in Brazil. And we have teams of people who go down there every year. And I'm open to correction, but I believe that our church has participated in building 10 new churches for the witness of Jesus in Brazil. Missions. We've got people involved in missions and in giving all over our church.
Pastor, you don't have to go far, though, to be involved in missions as well.
Oh, I love this, and I'm so glad he gave me oatmeal. I love oatmeal. I love going to Cracker Barrel and Brannan's in Landrum and getting a big bowl of oatmeal. Let me tell you, oatmeal is not oatmeal without a jolly good pinch of brown sugar, a little dab of butter, and a spot of milk. Marvelous. Absolutely on the spot. Do you know, folks, that our people in our church, many, many of our people, spend many hours giving to the poor and the hungry and the needy, bringing food to our food kitchen, dispensing items so that others can have and others can have their needs met as well.
There's another ministry.
Oh, I love this. This is a flag. Do you know what this reminds me of, Britton? It reminds me of our scouting program. We have the most incredible scouting program at First Baptist Church. In fact, we've got a whole lot of our scouts here today because this is scout recognition today. Scouts and those involved, would you stand up this morning? Would you just stand up? Let's recognize them and greet them this morning, folks. What is done for the Lord Jesus Christ in the minds of our young people through the ministry of scouts at First Baptist Church has inestimable value.
Just a couple more, Pastor.
Couple more things. This is marvelous. I went into someone's home yesterday. They have three little ones. And I so enjoyed sitting on one of their couches and talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I see something like this, I think about all of our Sunday school teachers. I think about all the men and women who spend literally hours talking about Jesus Christ and teaching others about the wonderful truth of knowing Him as their personal Lord and Savior. Our Sunday school is such a vital part of our church. I hope that you're involved. I hope that if you're a teacher or you would love to teach, that you've volunteered. You've said, Lord Jesus, this is my love gift to you. I want to be used of you. I hope that you're involved in our discipleship programs that we've spoken about. Master Life and K groups and all different kinds of things that are going on in Life Institute on Sunday afternoons. Thank you so much, Britt. I guess that's about...
Well, there's one more thing, Pastor, that kind of reminds me where I need to be right now.
regard to our goodness TV me. Ministry. Thank you, sir. A television monitor here. Where would we be without our television and communication ministries that reach so many people for the Lord Jesus? I wish that each one of you could see the letters that dear people write to us, prayer requests from nursing homes and from places all over the show. People in every kind of circumstance of life, they bring such joy to our hearts. And how much we thank Britt Dillard and our folks in the media ministry of our church who mean so much to us. Thank you, Britt. I do appreciate that. And it seems to me remarkable to think that Britt couldn't pick that box up by himself. It's amazing.
It's true.
But it's true. You look good, Britt, but you're not quite at that point yet, are you?
I'm working on it.
It's great. Let's turn in our Bibles to understand what it is that God is trying to teach us. Ephesians chapter 4. What is it that makes people want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ like this? How do you explain it in today's day and age? I want to remind you in Ephesians chapter 4, in the verses that we've already discussed together, and particularly verse 7, the Bible says that to each one of us, grace has been given as the Lord Jesus Christ has apportioned it. And then you go down to verse 16, and Paul puts this all into one whole nutshell, as it were. He says, for from Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It is absolutely mind-boggling to think that in this church, that God is raising up a group of men and women and young people who are willing to say, Lord Jesus, you have blessed me. And in return, I want to bless you. Now, how do we explain this? Well, today and next week, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 4 and from verse 17. Because Ephesians 4 and from verse 17 explains to us what it is that is taking place in our hearts. Why is it that so many people want to serve God in such a fashion? Let's read it together, verse 17. So, I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught of in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus Christ. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, in order to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There's a lot more, but may the Lord add His blessing to this reading from His Word. How do you explain to the world what happens amongst God's people in God's church? How do you explain that a group of people who have so much to do seem to know no limit to what they are prepared to do in order that others may come to know Christ? You, my friend, are a developing disciple. You are in the process of growing in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, I'm going to be doing an exegesis of verse 17 through verse 24, explaining to us, according to God's Word, how we came to this point. But this morning, I want to answer a very simple question. What is a developing disciple? What is it that causes you and me to come to church on a Sunday morning, or to read our Bible, or to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer, or to meet at a prayer retreat in a group, or to be around other men and women and boys and girls who love the Lord Jesus, and to suddenly begin to feel a strange stirring within our hearts and lives, a compulsion, if you please, to want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're a developing disciple, two things are happening in your life. First of all, you have a developing purpose. And secondly, you have a developing strategy that is taking place as a result of your developing purpose. We're going to discover that this is what the Apostle Paul was talking about. Jesus put it like this. He said, if any man, woman, boy, or girl would come after me, he or she must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus said it like this to his disciples. He said, as you are in the process of following me, I, Jesus, will make you fishers of men. We don't make ourselves fishers of men. It is in response to our following of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we go in the progressive, maturational development of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you follow me, I will in turn enable you by my grace to become fishers of men. It is a discipleship principle that is written in the heart of God. What was Jesus saying? He was saying that if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, two things are going to happen. Number one, you're going to have a developing purpose. And number two, you're going to have a developing strategy. What does it mean to have a developing purpose? Well, according to God's word, it means four things. It means, number one, that you really want to worship God. It's as simple as that. Your purpose is to worship God. God created us with the ultimate purpose of wanting to worship Him. And a developing disciple finds himself more and more wanting to be drawn into the heart of God, wanting to worship God. It has been said, and I believe this to be true, that you never have to beg a born-again believer to come to church. Why? Because a born-again believer is in the process of growing in Christ, of developing that sense of spiritual purpose. And what does a sense of spiritual purpose do? It means that you really want to worship God in two ways. Corporately, together, as believers, the gathered church, and personally, in your own private time, in your own quiet time, in your own prayer time. That's what God does for you. Second, you really want to obey God's word. If you're a developing disciple with a developing purpose, you're going to really want to obey God's word. It's very simple. What does God's word say? What does the Bible teach me? On the basis of the authority of God's word, I want to do what God wants me to do. I have the privilege, as all of our ministers do, of praying with couples who have been married for some time, some for not so long, some for very long time. Once in a while, a couple will come and see me, and a lot of strain and friction in their marriage. Do you know that many times the cause of the friction in that marriage is the refusal of one or the other of the spouses to submit themselves to the one they say that they love? Let me say a word to the men for a moment. If you've married that dear lady and you love her, here's the question. Why don't you want to obey her? Obedience not in the sense of a dictatorial, authoritarian obedience, either vice versa, but obedience in the sense of a willingness to want to submit to everything that that person represents. A willingness to say, I just simply love you. Therefore, I want to submit to you. I want to do whatever it is that is going to make you perfectly happy and make you a complete person. What is a developing disciple in his relationship with Jesus Christ? You really want to worship God. You really want to obey God's word. Number three, you really want to contribute to God's work. How do you contribute to God's work? Number one, in relationships. That's why we're here this morning. There are so many men and women in this congregation that I know when they sit and when they worship and when they function according to God's grace, that it seems to me that everything and every time you meet, always on your mind is the compulsion to want to reach out to somebody else in true God-given spiritual loving relationships. God's family is all about relationships. That's why it's important to be a part of God's church. I don't know how people can survive in this world without being a part of God's church. Friend, let me tell you something. When you suffer need, when you lose a loved one, when you're diagnosed with a dreaded disease, when your children hurt, when your marriage suffers strain at the edges, I want you to know there is nobody who will minister more to you than those you go to church with. Those who are your genuine friends in Christ. We want to impact God's world in God's work in relationships, in the giving of our money. I'm praying, beloved friends, that the time will come in this church that no member of this church will ever give money to this church because of the pastor who preaches in this pulpit. No one will ever give money to this church because of a program that your children are involved in. No one will ever give money to this church because of anything else other than the Lord Jesus Christ.
You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word. Please don't go away. He'll be back to complete this message, Why We Are So Different, in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we are connecting you with resources that can change your life every day. So many have been talking about the 31 Days of Prayer for My Nation, a resource you'll find on our website right now at tewonline.org. It's just one of many resources, both audio resources, written book resources, and yes, we still have copies of the fresh new book from Dr. Don Wilton called Saturdays with Billy, a wonderful treatment of the time that Dr. Don spent with Billy Graham over the last 25 years and that Dr. Don was his pastor. All the details are on our website at tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
This is his church. Why do I give? I give because it's his church. I give because I'm a developing disciple. I really want to worship God. I really want to obey God. I really want to contribute to God's work with my relationships, with the money that I've got, with my talents. That's what happened last week. That's what's happening this week. People are saying, I'm giving this love offering to God because I am a developing disciple. But in the fourth place, you really want to impact God's world. You're a developing disciple. You're not prepared to just sit there. You're not prepared to just pay somebody else to do missions for you. If you just paid somebody else to do missions for you, that's not missions. That's mercenary. Not everybody can go. But God's word says, beloved friends, that because we are developing disciples, we become active participants in the giving of our money, in our prayer, in our encouragement, in the notes that we write, in the practical participation that we enter into by God's grace. Evangelism, discipleship, missions. You see, friends, these are biblical values that we stand firmly upon. You have a developing purpose, but secondly, you have a developing strategy. How do you put this all together? If you're a born-again believer, what do you do? What's your strategy? Where do you go to next? How do you use your gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ? Three ways. Three considerations in a developing strategy related to our purpose. Number one, you need to refine your purpose. You need to refine it. I believe that in this church, as there are in all of our churches, no doubt at First Baptist Church of Florence, South Carolina, there are just many, many wonderful diamonds. But you know, most of us, friends, are rough diamonds. Do you know where diamonds come from? They come from a lump of coal. God begins with a lump of coal, and He creates a beautiful, priceless, precious thing called a diamond. And before a diamond is cut and refined, it is an uncut, rough diamond. And God takes us as His precious jewels, and He begins to refine us and cut us and shape us into that precious commodity He wants us to be. But secondly, if you have a developing strategy, you need to reaffirm a lot of things that you're doing, that God is doing, not only as a church, but as individuals. Reaffirm your commitment to Him. Reaffirm your giftedness. Reaffirm the things that God has blessed you with. But then, perhaps sometimes in a developing strategy, you need to replace some things, don't you? Sometimes as developing disciples, we're not prepared to replace anything. Oh, we've always done it like that. We've never done it like this before. This is the way we do it. This is the way I function. I'll never forget the story about the two hunters, elk hunters, hunting up in Alaska. And they went hunting, and the pilot came to pick them up on this frozen lake in the mountains of Alaska. And when he landed on the frozen lake, he got out of his plane. He said, "Gentlemen, there are two elk here. You know, you're only allowed one elk. We're breaking the regulations." They said, "Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Let's just take the two back home." He said, "I couldn't anyway. My plane's too small." They said, "Oh, but last year we put two elk on the plane that picked us up." So he said, "Okay." And they crammed these two elk into this small little airplane, began to take off. Guess what happened? They crashed into the side of the mountain. Fortunately, none of them were killed. As one of the hunters began to dig his way out of all the rubble and the wreckage, He turned to his buddy, who was also climbing out of the wreckage, and said to him, "Man, where are we?" And his friend looked around. He said, "I don't know, but looks like we're about 100 yards from where we crashed last year." Isn't that just like us sometimes? Isn't that just like us?
Oh, and how quickly the days pass by. Perhaps today is a unique day for you, a day where you realize it's time for a course correction, an adjustment in your trajectory, and God's used the encouraging Word of God, the Bible itself, and the teaching of Dr. Don Wilton to help bring that to light. If you've heard Dr. Don preaching the last few moments and been stirred by God, I pray you'd open your heart to what he wants to share with you next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If you just prayed along with Dr. Wilton, welcome to the family of God. Perhaps you rededicated your life to Christ or gave your life to Jesus for the first time. We have wonderful resources in both situations that will help you grow. They're free for the asking if you'll call us at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I pray you would jot that number down, store it in your cell, because it's much more than just an opportunity to order a Bible guide or order a book. It's there for you for that, but it's also a powerful avenue for us to pray together.
1 Timothy 2:1-2 says, "I urge, then first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In the times that we live, our lives are anything but peaceful and quiet. How can we find peace? We can find it in daily prayer and Bible reading. God wants to give us His peace. We just need to ask for it. We would be honored to pray for you. We would be honored to pray for His peace in your life." The Encouraging Word has a 24-hour live prayer line. You can call 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And talk to a real person who will be glad to pray with you. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, there's so many more great messages from Dr. Don, one from Romans, one from Ephesians. Coming up, peace, joy, and forgiveness, and real commitment. The two messages over the next couple of days here at The Encouraging Word. If you want to take a peek, or maybe listen again today's message, all of our resources, every broadcast is available for you both to watch and to listen to on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. While you're there, be sure and follow Dr. Don on all the social medias. He loves getting connected with you, whether it's on Twitter, or Instagram, Facebook. All of those points of connection are right there on our website at tewonline.org, as well as at the other end of the number, 866-899-WORD. We would love to pray with you.